Hi, those. My name is Mi-chan. I'm a recovering debtor. And congratulations on the 50th anniversary of DA. And actually, this year marks the 20th anniversary of DA Japan. And here, first, let me share the foundation story of DA Japan, written by the founding member named Koko on her behalf. After that, I will share how DA Japan is like now. The foundation story starts around 2000, at the turn of the century. I faced, and Koko faced, with my second personal bankruptcy. It was then my psychiatrist finally diagnosed my illness as morbid dependence on compulsive shopping or shopping addiction. The psychiatrist was one of few doctors who were familiar with addiction at that time in Japan. The psychiatrist told me the only way of treatment is attending self-help group meetings, but there is none for shopping addiction in Japan. I had no choice but attending the meetings of other groups for problems somewhat similar to shopping addiction. Several times of attending such meetings, though, never made me feel comfortable. For 4 years since then, I have been waiting for someone to start self-help group for shopping addiction, while I joined self-help group for other problems I had. Eventually, I founded the Women Closed Group for the problem, but not for shopping addiction. Meanwhile, my wish kept growing bigger and bigger. I want to share my story with other shopping addicts. Through the fellowship with members of the group I joined, I heard some of the shopping addicts were attending GA, gambling addicts, as a solution at that time. It was then that I started exchanging emails with a woman in Hokkaido, far northern part of Japan. She had the same problem with me, other than shopping addiction, though. After some correspondences, she told me that her ex-husband was believed to be a shopping addict. I asked her to introduce me to him, and I started exchanging emails with him. To my good surprise, he told me that he was being transferred to Yokohama area from Hokkaido for his business. Yokohama is not so far from Tokyo, where I live. He later moved in to Yokohama. I met him in Shinjuku in Tokyo for the first time. He showed me DA's pamphlets he obtained somehow from the US. He could understand English a little, but he gave me the pamphlets to me, although I did not understand English. It was then and there that we decided to found a DA group in Japan. This may be the very beginning of DA Japan. There was also an overwhelming event in my life at that time. My father passed away after a long struggle with his disease. For me, it was a terrible, unbearable loss. I loved my father so much. To cope with the untold despair and to fill the hole caused by the helpless sense of loss, I started translating the DA pamphlets into Japanese with the help of auto-interpreter software. It was not good enough. It took long, long time, more than 4 months of battle with my PC day by day. The raw old interpretation in Japanese at that time sometimes did not make any sense, and there were many phrases I could not understand at all. At the time, I never thought of obtaining a permission of the General Board for translation beforehand. I picked up some parts from many pamphlets and translated them to make a handout for the newcomers at the meeting. We call it handbook. And handbook was popular among other self-help group in Japan. I experienced such pamphlets really helped me understand what kind of gathering it is, so I needed to do the translation. That was what things were like in the autumn of 2005. Yokohama is a big city near Tokyo, and we're addiction seminar in Yokohama, where many kinds of self-help groups gather, has been held annually in March since the late 1980s. I had participated in the management committee for the seminar for years as a representative of self-help group of other addiction, and I decided to hold the first meeting of Japan, DA Japan, at the 2006 addiction seminar in Yokohama, and to start regular meetings right after the seminar. Presentation of DA handbook, sorry, preparation of DA handbook, arranging meeting venue, and so on and so on. So many things to do before the seminar and regular meetings to follow. But that time, the person who handed me the DA pamphlets became too busy to participate in the service, so most of the things must be done by myself. Churches and the public facilities where AA or NA self-help groups were accommodated to hold regular meetings were very reluctant to allow DA to do the same because at that time, shopping addiction had never been recognized as addiction seriously. But finally, Ueno Catholic Church in Tokyo willingly accommodated us. To hold the first DA meeting at the addiction seminar in Yokohama in 2006, I contacted every person who possibly knew someone who had shopping addiction. On the day of the addiction seminar, nearly 35 fellow members gathered for the first meeting. Some members came all the way from other parts of Japan only for the meeting. I was grateful for the fellowship. On Tuesday of the following week, regular DA meeting started at the Ueno Catholic Church. I sincerely thank Higher Power for having led us to found DA Japan 20 years ago and to grow the fellowship as it is now. Koko. That is the founding story of DA Japan. I personally joined DA in 2010 after having maxed out 5 credit cards and 3 accounts of unsecured loans with fully drawn down. DA Japan in 2010 was, say, just a gathering of shopaholics with no program. But for me, it helped a lot. As a perfectionist, as I couldn't show my weak point to anyone, so dating should have never been told to anyone. It's shameful for me. But I could be honest at the DA meeting. A mere gathering was gradually changed, and some old members painstakingly translated more pamphlets and the literature of DA and made another handout called DA Tools Collection. Thanks to the tools collection, we understood DA tools better and practiced them, including pressure relief meeting. The tools really did well. It worked. By 2016, the 10th anniversary of DA Japan, the fellowship grown bigger and bigger, and many fellow members started walking their steps. After the Ueno group, some other groups also started. Some of them were closed already, but we now have 14 active groups in Japan, from Hokkaido to Kyushu, including two online groups. LGBTQ plus group will start the meeting tomorrow. Now, DA Japan is considered as one of the 12 steps groups like AA and in Japan, and many doctors, psychiatrists, social workers, university professors, lawyers, and those specialized in addiction introduce someone who are in trouble with payment behaviors to us. So, DA Japan is now accountable, seriously. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michan. That was a really cool retelling by, you said Coco?
Yes.
That's incredible. Just want to jump in and remind everyone that, yes, the chat is disabled for right now. We do have a Q&A section, so if you have any questions for Michan, go ahead and throw them in the chat, and we'll get to them in a little bit. In the meantime, however, I would like to throw things over to Steve in Perth, Australia.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you, Michan. Fascinating to hear the growth of the program in a non-English language. And I am pleased to see that the program has spread worldwide. I know that there are many meetings at the moment in multiple different languages. And that's really gratifying to know. Hi, everybody. My name's Steve. I am a grateful recovering debtor and a business owner. Look, how did DA come into my life? Well, I have to pay. I have to give my wife the credit for bringing DA into my life. Back in early 2002, she and I were in a bucket load of pain and a bucket load of debt. And one day she came home and said, I've been to the library and I found this book. And suddenly, the light came on for us. My wife Belinda had been sober in the motherhood, the mother fellowship for 20 years plus. I'd been in Al-Anon for over 10 years, and we both understood that if there was a 12-step program around debt and money, that would certainly work because we'd seen 12 steps work in our personal lives. So there was definitely no doubt at all. And given this was not the first book that we'd ever read about money and how to, you know, live your life, this was by long, sorry, one of the, you know, there were many before that. And so we had, as I said before, we had a load of debt. And I'll talk in the we version because obviously my wife deserves the recognition. She won't be speaking, but the recognition of helping to found DA, at least in the Perth region. And so I'll speak in the we version. We had a load of debt. I'd been out of work in 2001 for 5 months. We had a car lease, a mortgage, 3 kids in private schools, all of the things that, you know, every good debtor does. You know, I often say in meetings that we had a financial house of cards, and really I was worried that I was just waiting for that puff of wind that would blow it all down. And, you know, I was very pessimistic about this debt and about how we would ever get out of this debt. And we talked about all sorts of things, selling the house, moving interstate, doing all of that stuff. But then we found the book. Now, I would just like to remind everybody who, you know, Ken wasn't around in 2002, I'm sure of it, but people who were around in 2002, what was it like? Well, the internet was newish, okay, and nowhere near as sophisticated and all-pervasive as it is today. We were still using dial-up modems. Now, for anybody over the age of 30, they would all remember that wonderful sound as the dial-up modems squeaked and squawked until you got a connection. And any use of the home telephone interrupted the sessions, and the speed of the link was measured in tens of thousands of bits per second. So very, very slow. And always on internet was a way off for us. There was no Zoom, just meetings that were in chat rooms, which were an interesting early concept in the internet days, where you saw each character that you or anybody else typed click into view and sort of dance across the screen. It was very, very painful to watch. International phone calls were expensive, but then again, we were debtors, so everything was expensive. I now have a $30 a month phone plan on my phone, which gives me unlimited international calls, which is just bizarre, given that it's only 20 years later. So now we discovered that there was something that could help us, and we started looking for meetings. There were definitely none in Perth. There was no doubt about that. And it appeared to us that there didn't seem to be any in Australia. We understood that there were meetings in the US. We knew that. We knew that there would be meetings in the US because obviously that's where the fellowship started. And we found out that there were these US chat rooms which we could attend meetings. But, you know, as I said previously, it was slow and rather painful. I used to go to one that was at 10 p.m. Perth time on a Sunday night, meaning that it was 10 a.m. New York City on a Sunday morning. We found out that the General Service Office did exist, and that there was a limited amount of literature available, usually in pamphlets, across a number of subjects, and many of which we still have today. We sent a US dollar money order, which just is bizarre to think about now, to the General Service Office to buy some literature, and it arrived back via snail mail. And you know why they call it snail mail. And when it comes from international, in those days, it was very, very slow. In our journey via the chat room, we found two people willing to be our first PRG. There was a woman in Arizona and another one in Philadelphia. And, you know, I personally was absolutely, and I know Belinda would back this up, were absolutely blown away by the fact that here were two people willing to discuss our financial situation in detail and come up with suggestions that would allow us to actually get ahead in our financial life. And, you know, I couldn't see how that could happen. I thought that the suggestions they came up with were ludicrous. There was no way that you could, you know, send a letter to the big banks, and I won't go into an Australianism here, but and actually have them agree to a moratorium. And that allowed us to really start to build a foundation of a, you know, financial future for us. Anyway, that's kind of moving off. We first attempted to have the PRG in a chat room, which it was completely unworkable. And then we had them via very expensive international phone calls. But again, that was much more workable because it allowed us to have interaction with the people, whereas the chat room was kind of that person spoke, this person spoke, that sort of thing. I think that we actually progressed at one stage to Skype, which was starting to poke its head above the internet, into the internet world, and that also allowed us to, you know, to be much more workable. And of course, it was at no cost to us because it was via the internet. So at the same time, Belinda and I decided that we'd start a meeting in Perth, and each Saturday, Belinda and I would go to a venue and look at each other and basically read each other the literature that we had, the small stack of brochures. But we had positioned it in a venue where there was an Al-Anon meeting, and we managed to snag a couple of people who showed up. They had a bit of interest, but unfortunately they didn't stay. So we closed that down and continued to use chat rooms as the vehicle for us to really get our recovery up and running. We, just as a side note, we have spending plans that go back to 2002, haven't been done imperfectly over all of those years, but certainly helped us when we applied for loans for housing and things like that. So one night, my wife was at an AA meeting in a venue in the city here, and she looked up and saw the distinctive DA logo on a notice board. And there was a lot of excitement about that. A woman called Liz had moved to Perth from Melbourne and was looking to establish a meeting at that venue. She had been doing what we'd done, sort of turning up, putting, you know, out brochures and waiting for somebody to turn up. And there hadn't been much luck there. So one night we arrived, the two of us arrived, and it was somewhat akin to Stanley finding Livingstone in the African jungle. There's, oh my God, there are other human beings in Perth who could actually want to be at a Debtors Anonymous meeting. And we worked together to get the meeting going, and we started to, you know, attract members. And finally, for us, our recovery had really started seriously. Not that we hadn't been serious before, but it certainly was a lot easier with a face-to-face meeting where we could share our experiences, because we didn't have any strengths. We only had hope in those days about how we could make this program work. We did many, many PRMs in that venue. We also did, cheekily, I'll get back to that in a minute. We found out, of course, that there were other meetings in Australia, in Sydney and Melbourne at that time, and obviously in other cities a lot later than that. But we didn't know about them, and they didn't know about us. And that is the beauty of the early internet days. Even though the stuff was there, it was still hard to find. I was able to get a sponsor through that connection with the Melbourne gang, and through him met Ross C, who it was the first person, in my understanding, to bring Debtors Anonymous into Australia after having been a visitor to the States a number of years previously. Ross used to talk about finding a cassette in a bookstore and was able to understand and get in touch with people in the US about Debtors Anonymous. My sponsor helped me start on my steps journey through the use of this. It is the Debtors Anonymous sponsor booklet from Southern California Debtors Anonymous. And it has been photocopied, reprinted, scanned, photocopied and reprinted many times. And, you know, the words are almost written off the page. But it was, for us, the start of the literature that we needed to do steps and to do sponsorship and things like that. And, you know, these were the days prior to the Currency of Hope, both editions of the Currency of Hope, the 12, 12 and 12 that we now have, the, you know, steps workbook that we have, and all of the other material. In fact, the Daily Reader, I've just ordered it. It arrived today, the Daily Reader of for Debtors Anonymous. So Debtors Anonymous is now, in my opinion, a mature organisation. The General Service Office put on a 48-hour steps workshop back a couple of years ago, and I was privileged to hear the 12 steps of Debtors Anonymous read out in Tamil, which is the dialect in the south of India and Sri Lanka, and also Swahili, which is the dialect of Eastern Africa around Kenya. And that really sent shivers down my spine, because, you know, Belinda and I you know, did we found DA in Perth? Possibly, right? But we had the privilege of being English speakers and being able to get literature in our language. And what I heard that day and today from Michang is that other areas in the world had to self-translate the English language into their own languages so that they could attract more members. We haven't had that to put up with. We've had the luxury, we have the luxury today of Zoom. I consider my home group to be the Recovery in Rhinebeck group, which is in Rhinebeck in upstate New York. I've met my current sponsor there. He lives in Arizona. You know, we have that privilege and that that capability today to have daily, hourly meetings if we need them, and to have sponsorship regardless of where that those people live, and obviously PRGs and all that sort of stuff. So, Ken, thank you for asking me. It's been a privilege to be part of this event. It's been a privilege and an honour to be part of Debtors Anonymous over those years. Again, I'd like to pay tribute to my wife for finding Debtors Anonymous. With that, I'll leave it there. Thank you, Ken.